Hello, and welcome to the PB&J Show. I am the PB, Patrick Butler, and joining me in person, that is correct, in person, the J, Jesse Hutmaker. Jesse, welcome to Omaha. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. This is a lovely studio, a beautiful view of the city here. I can say that this is probably the best location I've recorded with you or, via satellite ever. And thanks for getting the cold weather here for me.
Well, we wanted to order up a little bit of a change in the seasons, and we definitely got it. That's for sure. And yeah, welcome to the studio, AKA / office, AKA spare bedroom. But yeah, we've got a beautiful day to look out upon, and I'm excited to have you here, man. You got in yesterday, and we're going to head out today and hit some breweries and see some friends tonight and catch a show. But before that, it sounds like you've been catching up with family and friends, right?
Yeah, last night I was able to get together with some of my classmates that I had, three of them I hadn't seen in 30 years, and it was a great time. Had a lot of fun. And stayed out way too late, ended up in a bar where my voice is now, under the weather, so to speak, from talking so loud. Great time though. I got to do some record shopping this morning, and, it's great to be here. Cold weather is a nice welcome relief from what I've been dealing with. So I'm looking forward to today, tonight, tomorrow, and then heading back into my world.
Nice. Well, since you're here, we thought we'd take advantage of doing a live show, and kind of had me thinking. You and I usually, people always ask, where do you get your topics from? And some of it comes from the news or stuff that's on our mind or things that we're experiencing. And this last week, something hit me, man, and I want to kind of open it up. And I started seeing all this, these postings, of course, social media, which guides so many people and influences so many people, seems to be that a video got passed around initially, and it was exciting. It generated a lot of excitement, and people really jumped on board with their hearts and their likes and their positive comments. And then, as the week unfolded, it seemed like the comments and posts shifted to a certain degree where it shifted slightly against the initial video. So let's rewind a minute and let's talk about what video I'm referring to. And earlier this week, a video was passed around social media that showed Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen attended a football game in Dallas, and she sat in the box with Jerry Jones and also, more importantly, George Bush. Former President George Bush, and she sat next to him. And at first people were like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why is she sitting next to George Bush? What is going on? These two people are polar opposites on so many different views. So the video that's been passed around is Ellen commenting and making a statement on her show about why she was sitting next to George Bush. And she basically was saying that, hey, I like to be friendly with a lot of people, and they may have opposing views other than I may, that she shares, but she still can be friendly with those people. And really, to me, what it was her, once again, being this person that, she's always portrayed this on her show, she's friendly to so many different types of people, entertainers, politicians, just people in general. She unites people, and she has a message that I think is very uniting. And once again, this was reflective of that view. And so that got posted and liked and loved. And then, Jesse, then some of the backlash started to appear. People started coming out and stating that, goodness gracious, why would Ellen do that? She should be in direct opposition to this man because of his views. Why didn't she do this? And now some of these people are really coming out against her. And that, my friend, is the story in a nutshell. Talk to me.
Yeah, I struggle with this. And I feel that in our current climate in our country, one of the biggest issues is if I don't like the way that my neighbor thinks or views, I should not be friends with them. And I think people tend to forget that one of the things that makes our country so unique is that, and I hate to use this term, but we're a melting pot. None of us, as far as I know, unless we're Native Americans, are truly direct descendants from here. There's also a question if Native Americans are direct descendants from here. But it's those differences. And if we don't go and look at how we came together as a country and how different cultures merged and became a unified country and unified people, we were doomed to do that again. Does that necessarily mean that if my neighbor disagrees with me politically, I should hug them and tell them they're so wonderful? No, it just means that I know that political discussions, unless I'm really up for that political discussion, are off the table. We're not going to talk about that. We can talk about music. We can talk about sports. We can talk about the weather. Shit, things that are directly impacting our everyday moment-to-moment life. You know, it's really disheartening because when Michelle Obama was next to the president and gave him a breath mint and hugged him, and they have this awesome relationship, I haven't heard any feedback from that on that. Is it because she is a former first lady and it's a different responsibility as in being in that position? Should she be speaking out? Should people be outraged that she is an African-American woman who is, you know, breaking bread or sharing mints with someone that politically disagreed with how she felt about things? I think that's the huge divide in this country. And going a step further, that's one of the reasons why we have who we have in charge now. People don't want to, they want to point at different things, but at the end of the day, there is a very large population. And I can say this because I've lived in different areas of the country and I know this. There are people that may think X is great, but please let me think Y. And I don't need you to tell me that Y is wrong and I'm a horrible person for Y. They don't say that about X. And if they do, then you know what? Don't associate with them. You don't have to. But we feel that feedback has been brought forth in our current situation in this country. I'm going to step off my soapbox for now, and I'll let you speak.
Well, no, it's true. Our country, if anything, has turned so divisive over virtually every issue that you can imagine. And of course, it starts with politics, but it literally starts to shift down. And now it's turned into the norm to just draw this line in the sand. And if you oppose me, you're against me. And I struggle with that so much, of course, as, you know, referring to what you just said. But let me take this a step further, Jesse, because there's also this level of expectation that goes with the celebrity who's put into these positions. You know, the expectation being, hey, you have a platform, a television show, you're seen and admired by so many people on social media. And because of that, the expectation is that you should fly this flag and immediately be the voice and champion for our cause. Okay, that expectation is put that. And that's not just for Ellen, but I'm talking sports, you know, athletes that are superstars, any sort of celebrity that's got a platform. There's suddenly this expectation that, hey, you're in this position, you should have used this or you should use this to champion our cause. And because you're sitting with Bush, who has had, you know, opposing views, especially towards the gay community, you know, LGBTQ community, that you should have used that platform. The other side that's come out this week is, hey, there's war crimes against this president. He is the direct cause of wars and conflicts that we've been involved in or continue to be involved in. Hey, you should say something. And my point is this, obviously what I'm saying is, I guess I really struggle with that I should automatically assume that this celebrity should be thrust into that role just because they've got that platform. And I struggle with the fact that she's at a football game. And the expectation is that, hey, by the way, since we're at the football game, can I take a minute and just tell you how against these views I am with you? And I'm just in disbelief.
Exactly. And we all know she's a Saints fan. And so the fact that she's at a Cowboys game watching them lose, she's got to be loving that, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. We don't want – there's a sector of the population that doesn't want athletes, celebrities, or anything else to be involved politically. We don't want that. But then when they're given this opportunity, they're supposed to thrust their beliefs on them, and it's garbage. And this whole thing, I just had to quickly look this up while you were doing the introduction, and talking about W. Bush, his relationship with Bono. You know how I feel about Bono, but one amazing thing is his work that he's done with global AIDS, and one of his huge fans of it or supporters of that cause was George W. Bush. He sat down with George W. Bush. And if I'm just quickly, there's a piece in here. He says, I think we've got to cut through the shenanigans of political cartooning and see that some people can have different views and still be principled people. You know, that right there. Yes. Does it mean that he's going to be, you know, Christmas card buddies and come over for Thanksgiving dinner? He doesn't have to. The fact is they're working together on a cause to make things happen. The end result of that relationship is far greater than Bono or Ellen in this situation saying, hey, you really need to say something about this, or I can't sit next to you, or I can't share a joke with you, or I can't talk to you because you've done this, 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 and this. It's people really truly need to stay out of their space. And I know sometimes that comes back as things happen because of this, that people are in their space, but at the same time, so much more needs to be focusing on yourself and you than on what this other person that life's completely different. Ellen's job is to get people to watch her show. Her job isn't to be at a football game with her agenda. Her job is to get people to watch her show. Maybe she got a new viewer out of W. Maybe she got a new viewer out of Jerry Jones. Maybe that's going to lead to her getting some guests that where she could maybe have a conversation about differences. You know, we don't know that. We don't know. All we get is a quick little pic of her laughing, leaning over to George W. Bush. I mean, people really need to lighten up. They really do.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Bono before, and Bono, you know, if you look at his track record, especially what he's done, whether it's for AIDS relief or even debt relief for third world countries, he's worked with politicians who directly oppose his views on many subjects, and yet they've united for a greater cause, whether it's, you know, AIDS relief or debt relief for those countries to help their citizens. And I mean, that's commendable. That's the type of work that needs to be done. I mean, I go back to Ellen and I look at her, I'm like, good God, her show's been on forever. And are you going to criticize every single guest that's been on her show? And should she have used that platform to tear those people apart and get into this divisive conversation on a show that's meant to, you know, really elevate people and lift them up and have a good time? That's not how she uses her platform, and I would never expect her to do so.
Right. Her 48 minutes of programming or whatever, they are to put smiles on people's faces. They're to, you know, make you feel better about yourself, really, truly to put aside everything else that's going on and just enjoy yourself for 48 minutes. Laugh, smile, cry over an emotional, sad story that maybe she touches some family or some human being in some sort of way. Her job is to entertain us, not to be a spokesperson for a community talking to a former president who really now is just painting and enjoying time being a grandfather and in Texas. I'm not a fan, never was, but still, you know, I respect what he's done with Bono. I don't respect other aspects of his presidency, but the fact that he has kind of bridged that gap, you know, we always want politicians to work together. We want people to work together, but yet when we get a situation and we see that there's two differences of opinions, we want to jump on them instead of just saying, hey, they're at a sporting event. Do you want to break into a huge discussion or a critique of somebody's policies? I know if somebody's sitting next to me that I'm at a game with and they want to talk about that, I'm telling them to shut the fuck up. I'm here to watch, you know, what's his nose? The quarter, Ezekiel Elliott get negative yards, you know, to explain how you spell Dallas with two L's, you know, those are the things that I want out of the game. I don't want a deep conversation. You and I have been to a number of football games together. I don't think we've ever had any conversation that doesn't involve sports, players, crowd. We don't sit there and say, hey, you know, Patrick, you know, I really don't like the direction that you're going with what you're doing now in your job. We don't have that discussion. We have the discussion of what the hell's the coach calling? Why is he calling that play? Or what was it in Clemson? He's lost control. He's lost the team. You know, screw that, you know?
No, and I agree. And I want to be really clear on something here. Look, I do believe there's an opportunity for people that have a platform, whether it's a television show, a radio show, a podcast, a large social media following. I do believe there's an opportunity for them if they want to pursue and champion a cause. I do believe that there's an opportunity if that's what they so desire, but there's a time and place for that. And one of the key things that I would also come back to and pose is, hey, it's not just them and their voice. It's how we as a society and we as citizens are going to unite to help defend that cause or get behind that cause. And too often we're expecting these people to be mouthpieces and to be the cheerleader for the cause. And yet I see a direct lack of support, you know, and it's just, it also is a reflection of social media, right? We can talk as loud as we want on social media, so to speak, but are we marching in the streets? Are we fighting for legislation change? Are we voting, for God's sake, instead of having a pathetic voter turnout? Those are the things that drive me crazy.
Yeah. And taking the social media thing a step further, I believe that less than half the population is on Twitter, but yet when somebody tweets something, it becomes a headline and it becomes the gospel truth, the law, the this is that and that. That's not even reaching half of the population, and we're focusing that as our mouthpiece, if you will. You know, the other thing is, I enjoy having friends that believe different things than I do. I believe if I totally surround myself with people that believe the same thing as me, I get bored. You know, I mean, my wife and I, if you looked at the online dating things, we were like 69% compatible. And I will tell you, I went out with people that were in the 90, 95, 98% compatible. And you reach that point where it's like, all you're doing is high-fiving each other. And that's no way for growth, no way to expand your views, your understanding. I've learned so much from people that don't think the same way as I do. Thank God that more people don't think the way that I do, but it helps me. It also helps me get maybe an understanding or see where people are coming from. And I think that's one thing that's being really, really lost in our country, no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Well, we have kicked this can down the road and I love it, man. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about this because I agree. You need a well-rounded view and you're only going to get that through listening to other people's point of view. So, hey man, let's shift gears. Let's get into our punch list. It's that time of the show. The punch list, as many of you know, and for those of you who don't, is what are we into this week? Whether it's watching a show, listening to music, reading a book, and of course, our drink of choice this week. So Jesse, on our punch list, my man, have you been watching anything lately?
Yeah, I started watching the Netflix, I believe it's Netflix, The Politician. I keep watching that and... You know, I'm constantly trying to figure out what the hell is going on in the show. Not that it's like racking my brain. It's very, very interesting. It's a very, very different, but yet there's a lot of things in there, kind of touching on what we were just talking about, touches on a lot of those taboo subjects or those things that, we don't necessarily openly talk about. Been enjoying that. So The Politician is what I've been watching. What's going on with you?
Very cool. I have been watching season two of Succession and on HBO, and this weekend will be the season finale, I believe. And this show has been so interesting to me because season one, the initial episodes, I have to be honest with you, when I first started watching it, I thought I was going to give it up. I was like, I don't like these characters. I don't like the premise of this. I don't feel like it's unfolding in a way that I would want to keep watching. But I stuck with it. I'm glad I did because the season one did end up in a good spot. But season two has picked up and I think gained some ground. I think these characters have developed in a great way. And this thing is just, I can't wait to see how it continues to unfold because there are a lot of characters you don't like. But that's why you like them. You like to see how are they going to just unravel or spew their vitriol. And so Succession season two has been nothing but fun this year.
Excellent. I'm looking forward. I've been waiting for the season to get over because I like to burn through them and not sit around and wait. So I'll definitely get that on my viewing here very shortly. What have you been reading?
Reading, that's a good one. I have to be honest with you. I just started reading a book, and it's right here on my desk, actually. And it's called Unfuck Yourself. And it's actually been out for a while, and I had kicked it around. It was on my list, and I picked it up. And it's actually pretty good. It's common sense things that help motivate yourself and get you out of kind of a funk that you're in, so to speak. And boost you up. And so it's been refreshing to read it and just kind of, it's a quick read, but it's good because it kicks you in the pants and gets you going again. So there you go. Well, how about you?
I started reading Men in Blazers. It's like their soccer encyclopedia dictionary thing. It's really interesting, funny. I guess you have to kind of be familiar with who they are personality wise to get a lot of it, but very interesting for me. Like so much of it is soccer education, and you know, getting deeper into the soccer world for me. It's been a nice way to kind of make mental notes of things and kind of see where things are, especially from two British people who now, you know, embrace American culture. I read that on my flight in, and I'm really enjoying it. I think I laughed out loud a lot and got one of the guys sitting next to me to give me strange looks, but you know, whatever. So yeah, that's The Men in Blazers book. What have you been listening to?
Lately, I've been listening to Tyler Childers and his latest record. I remind myself of the name Country Squire, and it's been good. I've liked this guy for a while, and he's just continued to pick up steam. And I like the where he's going. I'm anxious to see him. I haven't actually had a chance to see him live, and I'm really anxious to do so. But I really like where he's going, man. He kind of was in that red dirt kind of genre, Americana, slash dose of country. But I'll tell you, he's a good singer-songwriter, so I've been liking that record. How about you?
Well, but I'm gonna two things. I've been watching the PBS country music series, and I found myself really going back through some of the classic country and listening to that, and then segueing into a country artist who decided to make a 70s rock and roll record, Sturgill Simpson. I've been listening to that, and I'm still grappling with him as a rock and roll artist. But you know, it's really great. If it had any other name on there, if it was Patrick and the Butlers, I would be like, holy crap, this is a pretty fucking amazing album. I keep thinking to myself, I have my vision of him. But it's a great record. The guitar playing, the band is incredible on there. I have him pigeonholed, which is my fault, but I really love that record. So yeah, Sturgill Simpson and some classic country have been in my ears lately. Finally, drinking. What you been drinking?
Well, I've kind of been a little bit light, but I picked up a six pack this week in honor of your visit, and it was the classic, the Abita Strawberry Lager, and just an easy beer to drink, and so good. I think they really nail it on that one, and it's always a good go-to. And so as I was cruising down the aisle, I looked down and I said, Abita, Jesse's coming. I'm going down that road.
Yeah. This year, their strawberry lager is really good. It was a really good year for Louisiana strawberries this year. I will tell you, if you see the Straw Gator, get that, just get the one bottle. You'll be fine with that. Keeping it local. But first, before I forget, after our last podcast on journaling and post-it notes, I broke down. I got myself a journal. I guess it's a Harry fucking Potter journal. I don't know what that means, but I got it. I brought it with me, and I opened it last night at 1 a.m. I was like, oh no, I'm not in the mental state to write anything in here. And if I do and I read it tomorrow, I'll be like, what the hell. Anyway, so I just want to say that your podcast and your thoughts on journaling motivated me. Well, hopefully we'll get some pen to paper there. Drinking. Last night I had a few different beers. I had a really, really good Oktoberfest beer, but I went back to keeping it local, and I went with the Infusion, the vanilla bean. What is it? The vanilla bean.
Yep, the blonde.
The blonde. Yep. I went back to that. And then I had some jalapeno something. I'm guessing it's local. It was really, really good too. I need to figure out who makes it, but that one was really good. But I went back to the old standby of Infusion. Looking forward today to challenge myself with a few new beers. So looking forward to that.
Awesome. Well, we have hit that time. We like to wrap it up within 30 to make your visit with our podcast a nice and clean one. And we have hit that mark. So I want to thank you, Jesse. Good time. Have you live and in the studio together. That's awesome. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really love doing these together. It brings out a certain element for me of energy. Also, you know, we are on a touchy subject. Feel free to let us know. Let us know. I mean, if you hated what we talked about, if you totally disagree with us, do let us know. I mean, you know, that's the whole point of this. That's really essentially what we're getting at is if you don't like something, you got to do something about it. Let us know, let somebody know and vote. Like you said, get out and vote. Don't just talk about it and tweet about it. Vote.
Constructive comments. All right. Thanks for tuning into the PB&J show. As always, the PB&J show is a Find the River production. Until next time, my friends, thanks for joining us and have a great one.